This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Guess what? You've managed yourself through the first 2 hours of this shit show to get to the hour three, and that's where we are right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to it. It's the C block of the show. It's a Tuesday night. This is show 352. It's the 31st of July, 2018. We've got a full studio. We've got Doug Wilkie over here. We've got Marnie Ryer. Kat Carlson is here. Al Perkins is here.
You gotta make your thing smaller.
That's what she said.
I gotta go to this shot. I'm sorry. The reason that we're out of sequence in the seating is because we have a friend sitting offside who just wants to see how the show's put together, not part of the show.
And boy, is he sorry.
Yeah.
And that'll be a one and only experience.
The regrets list on that guy.
Not enough vodka.
Just show your therapist this tape.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for entertainment.
You'll get all the drugs you want.
Let's turn it over to Al Perkins.
Well, I have to recommend what I'm assuming is the third in the series.
Oh, no.
Butt Wars, Rogue Buns, Chuck Tingle starring, where I think
they're books. Chuck Tingle appears to be the author.
I think Chuck Tingle is the author and not the star of each.
He could be both. I don't know.
The spokesmodel.
I don't know their budget.
I'm worried about the spokesmodel. Because I think in this movie, based on the cover art.
Which one are you talking about? Because I'm going to pull up the cover.
Rogue Buns. Butt Wars.
That's not even the best one.
Oh, wait. I get it. It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because why does the unicorn have a lightsaber?
Because it's Butt Wars.
Wait, there's a unicorn?
I'm worried he's going to have sex with the unicorn. Uniform. Hey, corn.
I saw that
video one time with a horse and it didn't go well.
I don't know which one.
You saw it too?
Wait, there's a Loch Ness Monster one. I see that.
Oh, the Loch Ness Monster.
Pounded
there's a
in the butt
one?
By my book. Pounded in the butt by my own butt.
Oh my God.
That sounds like a run on that.
That feels like a lot.
I'm worried about Chuck Tingle's grammar when I listen to this on audiobook.
Grammar's the biggest problem with that one.
Oh, I see.
My ass is haunted by the gay unicorn colonel. It's a Civil War story.
So good. So good.
It's the return of Martin Gare Part 2.
So wait.
My ass is haunted by the gay unicorn colonel, and the unicorn is wearing army fatigues.
Wait, but what
era?
What
do we call that? Dress camo? What was that called? Fancy camo? I don't have my glasses on.
You can use the word fancy and camo.
That really does appear to be a Civil War uniform. They literally only had the one.
The unicorns only fought on the right side. Oh my God.
They appear to be Confederates.
We've gone there.
Oh, internet.
So it's this one. So there's the unicorn.
And a football squad.
Oh my God. It's a whole thing.
So I think the unicorn is the whore in this story, not the spokesmodel.
Huh.
Oh, he's kind of cute.
Oh, my God.
Well, we've reached a new level, ladies and gentlemen.
It's still reading. I don't care what you say. Right. You're still reading.
Read
it,
more
oh,
books,
Oh, is this
people?
Our new book club?
Yeah, it's our new book club.
Pick anyone
from the Unicorn series. I am sure we'll be able to put the pieces together.
I don't think Oprah approved this book club.
I think the first time you find out how a man and a unicorn have sex, you found out forever. You just know.
I'm going to find out how much they are on Amazon. Wait.
Why?
Wow.
To know if I can afford it or
well,
not.
Well, we need Chuck Tingle t-shirts, don't we?
Clearly.
I read Chuck Tingle, do you?
I'm going to send him one.
Does your Chuck Tingle?
Oh my God.
Two creams.
Why
a little powder.
The Space Raptor Butt Trilogy.
Al, look at Jenny's comment.
This is the best part. Wait. By Dr. Chuck Tingle.
Oh.
Of Dr.
Jenny, that is so fucking wrong.
That is hilarious,
Unicorns
Jenny.
Unicorns are extinct because they fought for the South. All right. She won the internet today. Just give it to her.
Jenny won the internet.
Good word. In case you're on a budget, the Space Raptor Butt Trilogy is only $6.99 on Amazon.
Oh.
Can you stream it?
Well, it's a book.
Will Glenn Close read
I'm
it?
Sorry.
Did she read the audiobook?
So that's $6.99 in paperback. Stand by for.
Oh, no, never mind.
But someone
stand
will
by for other
I'm
options.
Not gonna make a movie.
We're
going
to find you an Audible. Oh, I can get it for free on the audiobook.
God.
Okay,
us.
I'm listening to it before bed tonight.
$5.99 on Kindle. Free on Audible.
I'm not going to get something that's free. It's free.
Right. Get it. It's free. $3.99. Hey, what's in entertainment? What's going on?
Yo,
what do you got?
Now, well, now that segment. We've done that, oh, I didn't go to the Norman Rockwell Museum, so there's never anything to talk about that. I don't know what these are. Okay, so we'll start with the documentary. It's called Love and Bananas. I'm not sure what station I was watching it on, but I feel like it was one of them.
Love
and it is
and Bananas.
A very charming story that Ernie is not allowed to watch. About
does the dog die?
Ty. No.
She's fine.
Well,
then.
You don't follow the dog story because they could have died in the second scene and I wouldn't have known. But it's a woman from Thailand. Are they Thai? I'm not sure how to say that.
They're
correctly.
Thai.
Thai. Sure. So a Thai woman who rescues elephants from all over Thailand and she tries to get people to stop using them as like a way to
carnival
get,
rides.
Well, I mean, they go for the simple stuff, but I guess in Thailand there's a problem of making them carry tourist places.
That's
and,
what
like,
I'm saying.
Yeah. Beating them up and down paths.
Right.
Yeah.
There's bad. A name. There's some kind of name for it.
Like a mule or a donkey, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They
yeah.
People
so
ride
they're
them.
Trying to get them to stop that. So she rescues them and she gets one man to give up one of his elephants because the elephant is blind. And 70 years old, and she's like, there's just no point to this anymore. Let us take care of him. And then she convinces him, or tries to get him to promise that he will turn his property, instead of being a place where you go and ride elephants to look at things, to be go someplace
sanctuary.
And watch elephants, you know, make it
right.
a sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants him to do that, and then she's trying to get this elephant across Thailand to this new preserve that they built. And so the elephant has been abused for so long that even though it's blind, it still won't get on a truck. It knows that it's getting on a truck, and they have to like fight to get on the truck. But she gets them places by loving bananas instead of beating them.
Okay.
And it's just a fascinating story, and you're like so invested in like finding out the social the social activities of elephants and how social they are,
yeah,
and like how
really
cruel
are.
It is to isolate them in any way.
I don't know if it's connected or if it was an excerpt from this documentary, but I did recently see a video on Facebook. Where a gentleman had taken a piano out to a sanctuary, and there was a blind elephant that when he plays,
yeah, right.
the elephant comes to it and kind of sways next to the piano.
Oh,
like they're drawn to the music.
Yeah.
That's not it that I saw, but
okay.
But I mean, it's just amazing stories of these. They still 70 years mm-hmm. old, and she still immediately tries to find a herd. Like when they get
right.
to the sanctuary,
right.
they have to like quarantine them for a certain amount of time. to yeah. keep everybody safe, they introduce them slowly, and then they have to like find a herd,
find
and
their way. Right?
It's just a charming story, and like there's
Sounds
one point
great.
Where they have to get the elephant to a different part of the country, and they're afraid the elephant's going to die of heat stroke, and they have to like hustle the elephant along, and so they have to go back to some of the older ways of like getting the elephant to move, and it's just
oh.
everyone's just heartbroken, but they're like the elephant's going to die here, so I
right.
mean, we have to do.
What we have
something
to do.
And then to see the elephant finally like without it first without a chain to have more space and then to finally be without the rope and let it just run freely and like slowly mm-hmm. as it realizes it's being rescued and it's safe like the I guess the elephant if they don't have
their trunk
up I guess it's a sign mm-hmm. of depression
yep.
yeah
they don't periscope and stuff so I mean it was just
oh.
it's just a really really like one of those feel
it's
good
Love and Bananas
it nice. Was just it's just
I'll
a really
it
nice documentary. I don't know where I found it.
Well, I'll look for it. That's cute.
And then Sharp Objects. I don't know if we're watching on HBO.
I'm watching.
We are.
So
we're probably behind, so don't get real current.
Oh, no. It's just a funny thing because that we talked about the first week where it's got that Jean-Marc Vallée
mm-hmm.
where he does those dreamlike things. Well, it turns out there was on-set screaming and yelling and catastrophes because everyone wanted it to stick to the source novel and that gothic novel mm-hmm. and they wanted all the dialogue and like he wants to do everything in that like last episode of Big Little Lies where he
yeah,
wants
yeah.
it all to be like a dream so they have to get dialogue into his dream sequences so it's kind of fun to hear like the creative process and the fact
sure.
that they're like they're all kind of happy with it but nobody loves it
mm-hmm.
so I'm wondering if that's the reason why they booted it out of Emmy season like
oh,
why is it in the like the dog days of summer like why is the show just appearing in like
because nobody
worst
likes
time,
it
yeah,
but we
Emmy
made
love.
It so we should probably show it to people
yeah because it's really good it turns out mm-hmm. them fighting with each other and it gives that gothic sense a little bit more when you have these like images and like the things that are haunting her like it kind of mm-hmm. works in a way that
I like it
yeah I think it's really good
mm-hmm.
And anyone who gives Chris Messina a job it's it aces would be.
Oh, yeah. That brings me after this one. So Gianni Versace, I'm getting caught up on that one. And I really want to find out, we were talking about the last time we were all here together, and you were saying that, what's his butt? The kid?
Chris.
No. It's the boyfriend. Anyways, Darren Criss was like worried that he was playing things lighter and they were coming off as darker. You're playing a serial killer. Where were you going for happy in that? Because he's just, that's mm-hmm. a very disturbing portrayal.
He was so good at that.
I think he was reacting when I saw him on Hollywood Reporter. I'm the one that brought that up. He was just reacting to criticism about the show. Because people have said, like I did, that it was just too dark and too grim, and all he was saying was when I was playing certain scenes, I told you that they heightened it with music and stuff. They were just talking about when you make films, there's so many editing decisions
and tricks that they do,
and that he just said he was just saying it's just not what you think you're doing at the time, and then you look at it, you're like, oh wow! But you're right. He was playing the serial killer.
Yeah,
but.
And he plays it so well, and like so his well. Little like turning on a dime mm-hmm. into like just maniacal. Very good. So.
And you can literally see that in his. I use the word literal. I'm terribly sorry, but when you watch it and he's going along in a dialogue in a scene, and then all of a sudden he turns.
Yeah.
You just see it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, mm-hmm. I just got goosebumps. It freaks you out because he becomes. That character so much.
And just the way he lies. And So like I'm only like halfway through because FX doesn't have on demand. You have to like find them at 2:00 in the morning.
No, they have an app.
And I know, but I want to watch on my TV.
We'll find a way.
What it reminded me of is, and I remember being back in the day in the 90s, like when he came through town, like you were all BS West and all that. It reminds me, and if it doesn't remind you, if you're just getting to this, oh my God. Just pay attention to every little nuance of people that come into your life
Absolutely.
And watch them.
Exactly.
Don't believe everything everybody tells you because you might wind up dead in a garage.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Freaks like that are still around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Operators.
And that's like just a little backstory that I read. Now I want to read that book. It's called like Vulgar Favors or something is the name of the book.
And it's
based
by Maureen Orth from Vanity Fair.
Oh, okay.
Really good. Yeah.
So I was curious about that because there's some of it where like he was voted like least likely to be forgotten in high school mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. like really well liked and very popular mm-hmm. and like he sounds like one of those people that end up being cult
mm-hmm.
like leading cults and like there has to be and because people know so little about him like there must have been an extensive amount of reading to get away with the kind of lying he did.
Oh, he was very book read.
Yeah, he was well read.
He was very well read.
That's the part that I'm like there's gotta
be
something in there.
That was part of his father's thing with him was and they alluded to in the series that there was some sort of a sexual thing with his dad. They didn't show anything.
Yeah.
They alluded to it. But yeah, the fact, if I'm not mistaken, the father was very much on you. He needed to be educated and read and keep up on stuff. That was part of that.
Mm-hmm. And the father was an embezzler and left the country.
Absolutely did. Crazy. And then lied to him when he calls him when needing help. I'm on my way and never left. Never showed up.
But I wonder what I wanted to do at 10:23 a.m.
I was wondering that. I was hoping we were going
to
get to that.
Yeah, that seems to be a note. What is that penis
it is really
America.
Fun sitting on this side of the table.
Isn't it? You get to see what like the fuck it. He's doing.
I know. I get to backseat drive him.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, my notes that I can never follow. So, old movie, time to rewatch it. The Social Network.
Yes.
Caught that on the plane. Very hard to find on any streaming.
The Facebooks.
Well, you were telling me about Facebook. This the other day that I should.
How this movie did not win like 19 Oscars.
I love
and
that
just
movie.
That is just solid filmmaking, and every single person in there is a future star. Like,
yep.
Every time a new cast member came out, I'm like, well, Christ almighty, from Max Minghella to what's the cute, the Army Hammer.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And Army Hammer plays the twins in that movie.
Plays the twins.
Winklevoss
and it's,
twins.
Yeah, and it's not gimmicky at all. Like, and I think I watched this during Oscar crunch, where I watched so many movies, and so a lot of them slip away, and it was always one like, I want to go back and see that, but it never seems to be on anything. Well, it was on the plane, and
I love this scene.
I was amazed.
It's just really short, but who plays the other guy? Is it Justin Timberlake or
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, when he tells him, Facebook, it's cleaner.
Yeah.
And that's like that's how that it was always the Facebook, and he was like, no, just
Facebook, it's cleaner. Yeah,
and yep, and your grandma still says the Facebook,
the interwebs,
and Rooney Mara, who people would talk about was in it, and I was like, people were like, oh, she had the big star turn in The Social Network. I'm like, I do not remember her. Mm-hmm. She's the girl
she's
in the beginning.
Right.
No, just the girl I guess they're dating. Mm-hmm. But then in the movie, he sees her again, because he starts the whole Social Network to be as a bash against her, saying really cruel things on the internet. And she has a scene later where he's trying to apologize, and she's just telling him, like, no, like, you called me a bitch on the internet.
Yeah.
And then she tells him, she's like, later, I want you to remember, as clear as I can put this, I didn't not like you because you're a nerd. I didn't not like you because you're a total asshole. And I was like, oh my God, that is such a great line. So see that. I don't know how the King's Speech won Oscars against this shit.
Yeah.
It is astounding. And that Andrew Garfield wasn't nominated. I don't get that either.
Colin Firth with a stutter. Makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Again.
It makes
all the marks.
Yeah. Nazi retard. That's how you win an Oscar.
Makes sense. Yeah.
It's a straight quote from Bill Maher. It's a direct quote from Bill Maher.
Bill Maher. And it's one of the second half of that quote is
because she won an Oscar.
But it was like the longest Oscar campaign in history for years, and he said, for Christ's sake, Kate Winslet played a retarded Nazi. Can we just give her an Oscar so that the rest of us can get on with the rest of our lives?
That's my favorite thing Bill Maher's ever said. It was just so perfect. A little bit of a plot spoiler, but if you haven't seen it by now, you're probably not going to.
Thanks, Obama.
In theaters right now.
Good night, Harrison. Thank you, sweetheart.
Night, doll. In theaters right now, a movie called Eighth Grade, which will bring back all the trauma of the eighth grade.
All the people are talking about that. All the moms.
Really, really good movie. The young girl in that that plays the eighth grader. Mm-hmm. What a brave
she's great.
Performance. Just,
do you know who she is?
Elsie. Something.
I don't.
Like.
Yeah.
Stand by.
The voice of the little one in Despicable Me.
Yes.
That's right. Okay.
The littlest.
The baby?
The baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that can't be her. No, her name's not Olivia. Her name is like Kayla or something in the movie, isn't it?
Her first name's Elsie, I think. The actress.
Sandra.
I mean, that's. She's really.
Bo Brundle, I think.
But anyways.
Is the director.
Yeah, first time writer, director, really. Really good movie.
Yeah.
But it brings back all the horrors of the eighth grade. And it, Kevin
she
and
was,
I were.
She was spot on with it.
Kayla. Elsie Fisher.
Elsie Fisher. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, just in your face, like, I mean, right straight up camera angles. And it. The horrors of eighth grade came back. I needed a little bit of therapy.
I say it all the time. Nobody ever says, gosh, middle school, that was the best
time. That was the best time.
Absolutely not.
I don't know if it was the oily skin or the smells or. The boners for no apparent reason. So the Star Spangled Banner does it for me now. That's new. It's the crescendo. So.
Oh, I thought it was because Jose, can you see?
I do love Jose. So Mamma Mia, if you haven't, look up the Onion review of Mamma Mia.
It's hysterical.
It's so funny. And you really.
Here I go again.
Yeah. I could not remember that.
My. How can I resist you?
So the trauma that came in the 90s when I learned during Muriel's Wedding and Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, that I was an ABBA fan with some amnesia, and it all came screaming back, and I know the words to every ABBA song.
All of them.
You will feel so much better in the sequel. This time it's personal.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. That's right. That they're using some ABBA songs I never fucking heard.
Yeah.
They call
door.
Them the review I hit the second tier of ABBA songs.
Yeah, but they get in some good ones. And God bless her, if sometime in the 70s no one told Cher, you should probably sing that Fernando song on your show. It suits her voice so
that's good.
Perfectly.
You know she's releasing an album of singles covering all ABBA.
Yeah.
Oh, I just heard
that's
that.
A thing.
Oh. But honestly, like, from
you hear the drummer's Fernando?
No. No, she sounds so good.
I didn't say I sound like her. Yeah. I just,
I get what you're going, but it really does.
You weren't making that claim.
It really was good.
Artistic liberty.
And I was trying to, like, do, because the math does start to get to you. Like, you do have to start to figure out how in what planet Cher could be Meryl Streep's mother.
Yeah,
and planet. My thought was based on age. Meryl Streep is a little long in the tooth to be playing Donna in the first place, so it's really her age we should be worried about. But she's only about 8 years too old, as it turns out. Meryl Streep's not as old as I think she is.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't she pushing 70?
The Google says she's 69.
69.
The Google says that Cher is 72.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're only a couple years apart, but she should have been, like, 42 10 years ago. So I was right. She is about 20 years too old to be playing Donna.
Correct.
So, because she was supposed to have graduated from college, got pregnant, and now the kid is 21.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only 43 years of a life. This should be, like, too young for the Golden Girls story.
And me.
Yeah, she sounds great.
Yeah, she does. Yeah,
it really like sits,
that's about as all
it
I can play.
It sits in her like low range total. Really nicely.
Sure, will sue us if I play much.
So my favorite karaoke game is to sing every song as like, though you were Cher.
Oh yeah, right. we invented that. Yeah. At
Best
West.
Game ever.
Yeah.
Best game ever.
Well, I used to do it all as Ethel Merman. Every song also, I could do.
Yeah, yeah, my Ethel Merman one. Is not very strong. My Cher is a little better. But yeah,
we'll find
either way's fine.
But halfway through Cher night, you realize that it's the same accent as Elvis Presley. That you're
oh
doing.
Oh my God, it is.
It is.
Oh, take that down an octave and bam, you're
bam,
Elvis.
Bam, you're Elvis, yeah. Because she's got that little growl. And it, about halfway through the all Cher all the time, you're like, wait, are we all doing Elvis? Like,
yeah, and it's that
are.
Same like back of the throat.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so Mamma Mia, it's mother, stupid. No.
Crying all the time.
See? Breaking news.
You believe in life after love. Same.
But
same. Same song.
Breaking news. Latest in the series of Bigfoot sex. Back in the Throat is the latest title.
Back in the Throat.
Oh, my God.
We were gone for a while.
Oh,
but now
no.
we're back in the throat.
Bigfoot, Back in the Throat by Dr. Charles Tingle. Order it on Amazon and wherever it's sold.
Haunting your balls.
There's the TripAdvisor about how to get to Vermont.
Oh, good.
In case you wanted that.
That's handy.
I need it.
So, but Mamma Mia, it's stupid, stupid, stupid. But I do have a point to it. Is the fact that the girl that plays, because it's really like Mamma Mia 0.5. It really
is. Do you
is.
Need to see the first Mamma Mia to understand the second
this
one?
It's a flashback of what happened, how she got confused and can't figure out which of three men is her baby daddy.
She oh, oh, oh.
But the girl who plays her in the flat that plays Meryl Streep in the flashbacks, just a huge fucking star. Like, she is amazing. And the movie stops being goofy when it's about her story of like graduating from college, going to Greece, the adventures that had her meet three guys in the course of a month as she gets to Greece, and like two fall in love with her, she falls in love with one, and she's just a star. Like, yeah. She's so much fun. She's absolutely gorgeous. Her name's Lily James.
You already know her and love her.
Yeah.
From? She was in the most recent Kind of Terrible, Not a Musical, Cinderella. She was in Downton Abbey. She's the, like, snooty cousin that comes in from time to time.
She's in
Baby Driver. She's in...
She's the love in Baby Driver.
Yep.
She's the
oh!
one that, well, I mean,
God,
she...
God, that's a good movie.
She is
it's
absolutely
a
gorgeous.
Freaking really good movie.
And it really is the
again.
Call Me By Your Name for straight people. That, like, it's just about being, like, young and beautiful on your way to Greece and meeting, like, three people that hot in that skimpy of clothing in the summer. They're gonna fuck.
So you're saying I got a chance?
Yeah.
Sure.
You go ahead.
Did
someone tell you you couldn't?
Work it out.
Some sort of a strap or something.
You go anywhere you want to as long as you wear a
helmet.
Hey, girl,
you okay?
Strap.
Hey, girl, you okay?
But Lily James, honest to God.
Yeah, we already love Lily James.
Yeah. And then the amazing part is Meryl Streep is on screen for about 3 minutes, not including the end titles.
Oh, that's very
she
little.
Manages to steal that whole fucking movie and make you cry in 3 minutes.
Good
like,
for her.
She
good
is
her.
No fucking joke. She gets an ABBA song I've never heard of. And the lady in front of me took off her glasses. And then Kevin, who never cries, was like, And it was 3 minutes that Meryl Streep just came in and, like, just put that movie on another level.
Oh.
I'm like, how does she do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
How does she do it? And now this thing.
Hey, girl, you okay?
Hey, girl.
Did I do it? Did I win? Did I do it?
Yeah.
So, is it over? So, the last thing is this MoviePass thing that everybody keeps asking me if I'm going to do, and I just don't agree with it. I feel like we're going down the road of, like, Spinster. What's that record thing? What's the music? Napster. Yeah, we're going down some dark road.
Standby. Standby, because Napster was straight up stealing. Right.
Yes.
Because let me tell you about the 19,000 songs that I downloaded through Napster.
Guilty.
Right.
Guilty.
Let me tell you how many songs I stole from Napster. I was like a main hub because DSL had just been invented, and I was literally the only person that I knew that had it.
Oh.
But I was living for free with some other lesbians, and so
organized crime.
Right. Mm. Yeah. So I had all of the internet.
That's not what they call living with other lesbians.
Oh, no. No.
Not anymore.
Sport utility vehicle.
Yes, SUV.
It's a long time ago. I wasn't even old enough to drink when this all happened.
Oh,
so.
What?
Right. It's true. I was 20.
Your life of crime.
So I think
this cannot be Napster.
Okay, so it's the other one.
Spotify.
Spotify. those people. So yeah. MoviePass needs to save some cash, and it'll be raising prices and limiting new movies to do so. And a Tuesday announcement, the company said it has so far reduced its cost by 60% and will take measures to keep afloat. The plan to make this happen raises services cost to $10 a month in the next 30 days and limit availability for new major releases. Well, you can imagine that after that announcement was made, that it went from $10 to $15 and they lost the major releases, their stocks plummeted.
Yeah.
What?
I heard it was bombing.
Yeah. The company ran out of cash Thursday, resulting in a four-day period of full of outages, peak pricing, an apology from the company's CEO, and the then-unannounced blackout of the major release of Mission Impossible Fallout. MoviePass confirmed Tuesday that the new Tom Cruise movie is the first film under the new policy of limiting major releases. Mm-mm. So, I mean, you just knew this was coming. Like, and people were like, oh, don't you want to get that? First off, Harkins doesn't do it, so no. I was never going to buy in.
The minute I Googled it and saw that wasn't it, I'm like, why?
And then I'm like, no, like, they're making so few movies, like The Eighth Grade or something that you'll that doesn't have, like, exploding cars or people in capes, that you're never going to see anything.
Yeah, it won't.
Not that I don't like people in capes.
That's
not
what I'm saying.
They seem like
I didn't realize it was an
It's just not enough to draw you in.
I actually like to wear a cape occasionally.
Just some of my best friends do.
Who doesn't? Exactly.
They're really fun to, like, swirl around in.
And if you can run...
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying, in a room full of candles, don't run. I'm just going to bring it up.
Agreed. No.
So
point taken.
It's a weird thing, and the only reason I wanted to look at it is because, you know, at the beginning of last week tonight with John Oliver, he flashes all the pictures of different stuff, and then there's the one right before the credits that you have to, like, pause your thing. That's the thing that he's not going to talk about, but you need to Google.
Right.
That's the little, like, thing from the week that maybe. Mm-hmm. So that's, I was
I
like,
didn't know his show had Easter eggs.
Yeah, and that's the Easter egg is the last thing he shows before it cuts to last week tonight. Is something you should look up. It's something to be like something kind of pertinent from the week. But he's
I
not
love looking
talk about
things
it.
Up.
Yeah,
I know you do.
I know you weren't here earlier to Google something that came up.
I'm so sorry.
So we lost that moment.
So Would Al, like I have an add-on to entertainment that will thread nicely into our Charlton.
Are you done? Because before I can give him the
he
floor,
said that was the last one.
All right, I want to make sure. Well,
do you yield your time?
Yield my time.
We make up.
Are you new?
Yes. I just moved in.
Okay.
Yeah.
To the lady from Casa
Grande. So this year, and it's also going to combine with something I'm obsessed with, even though we didn't do that thing.
Oh, it's
which
good.
Is,
take your time.
Alamo Movie Alamo Movie House. It's in the East Valley.
Is there a basement to the Alamo?
Well, it's really cool. It's the first one's in Chandler, in Chandler. But the second one that just opened is in Tempe. But they serve food. It's like the AMC one, you know. But really good. They do new releases, but they also have a special programmer for all kinds of specialty programming. So I got on their list, and so I've already seen a couple of films there. They're doing a special screening with. They do screenings a lot of times with discussions afterwards, and someone leading them, and it's pretty interesting.
I love to nerd out with that.
Yeah, and so they're doing an eighth grade one with a discussion afterwards. And I'm also going to. You said you can't go, but they're going to show Spike Lee's new film, Black Klansman.
I saw a preview.
With, and this is so cool that they're doing this. The screening is at 3:30 here, but it's going to be satellited in with the showing and screening in LA with Spike Lee and the producers of the film. So we're all going to be in a discussion after the film. After. So that's the shout out for Alamo.
When I saw the preview to that last night, I was like, what the fuck
I know.
Is this?
It's getting really good reviews, too. So anyway, this is the 50-year anniversary of the original Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Charlton Heston. And so
Ronnie McDonald.
Is there porn?
They brought it right back.
They only have.
Is there any porn?
There is.
Yeah, well, we listen. You know what? Hey, Kat, Google that.
I don't have to. The Library of Planet of the Apes porn.
Okay,
is
so
extensive.
So this is a tie in more ways than
I remember
I
it on VHS in the 70s, 80s.
Really
so, 80s.
Bad masks. Bad masks.
There's only a few copies of the film on 35mm. If you want to see it the original way, and Alamo is going to have one. So there's going to be a screening in August, and I'm going to go to – there's an evening one and there's a Sunday afternoon one. We should talk if you want to go. But it's at their Tempe one, but you're going to be able to see Planet of the Apes in its original 35mm form. And it really is an amazing film.
Yeah. That one holds up.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Huh? Even the second one you can get through.
Mm-hmm.
Because Roddy McDowell's
still
in there.
That's all I got. I just thought – just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, we were going to get that out of you tonight.
I know.
And I do always have to give a shout out.
Surprise, surprise.
What is burning smell?
What is burning smell?
He's even got the face. Have you noticed that?
Moira.
But it's hard to compete with Bigfoot porn. And evidently, I didn't know Planet of the Apes porn.
Oh, listen. Yeah. Treat yourself tonight. Go
treat yourself.
Have some more of this.
I don't know.
Love bread.
Eat some of that.
Bread!
I love bread!
I know you do.
I love bread. I do. I love it.
I love it.
Nicole Kidman is here!
Nicole Kidman!
And you get a loaf, and you get a loaf.
Is that a wrap for entertainment?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Did you need to do any more of whatever you were doing?
That was it.
All right. I know you haven't prepared for it.
I clearly haven't.
But is there anything you'd like to share? Because we could do your two things segment if you want to.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have two things.
You were going to come and report to us about how your meeting went.
I mean, we can talk about the new Cobalt. I don't know if that's two things. Yes. It's Cobalt 2.0. Do you just want to play the...
That. Yeah, we're going to do that.
All right.
And now.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of Frazzle, two things.
Fast one thing.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
I believe in
guys are only
no, never
after
half-assed
two things.
Things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
I don't
never
know.
Never half-assed two things. Whole ass one.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kat Carlson.
So the Cobalt opens this weekend.
Yeah.
Thank God. I need something to do.
How was your meeting tonight? What was tonight?
The meeting was wonderful. So tonight was some last minute stuff. We were kind of going over the menu and having a lot of fun with that. And just a couple of like attitude changes that, you know, when you have a new space, you have time to break some old habits.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like we're in a new space. We're going to do things.
It's a new you.
Right. It's actually the same me.
No. I want it out of that. Is it frozen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's not. It's shitty. All right, go ahead.
Well, it's going to be really good like that for about a third of the way, and then you're going to want the glass.
Yeah. Good luck.
So, yeah, it was just some policy procedure stuff, mostly cocktails.
What?
I'm not watching that.
Well, I want to experience like a popsicle should be. Can I have the scissors, please?
Those are things I didn't know that I wanted.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Continue on. So attitude changes.
Yeah, so there was
a whole new world.
Right, there was a little bit of a whole new world.
Thank you.
And then, my God.
I don't know.
This is basically what happened at the end of the meeting, too. Yeah, like just evolved
into
that.
I'm listening to you intently.
I see that. It's freaking me out.
You have all my attention.
Be distracted by something, please.
Yeah, it's over there.
Oh. Don't squirrel. Do that. Don't do that.
Squirrel!
She's going to make a noise again.
In any event.
She's going to make that slurping noise.
I think we're going
to... Al, can you put wine in that?
Yeah.
So, Cobalt 2.0 opens
really
this weekend. Please come see us. The grand opening is on Friday, starting at 6.
This Friday?
Yes. Tomorrow night is the Friends and Family Private Event. Is that really just it's training 1.0? How the fuck is this going to work? Is that what tomorrow night is?
So, I've spent kind of a lot of time trying to put the bar together in a way that's really going to make sense for all of the staff. Like, that's... shit that keeps me up at night.
And her passive-aggressive way of running this. I love that. That's my favorite. It's my favorite part of it.
Wow.
I've never heard such a fucking thing.
My backseat management.
It's my favorite part of this story.
Yeah.
Well, because...
That's good.
God love Jeffrey Perales, but I think he really thought he was going to be able to do everything all by himself.
Lord love a duck.
Yeah.
And I'm not shit-talking him because I am very, very grateful to Jeffrey for the job that he's providing and for the beautiful new space that we get to play in. Like, I can't say enough how...
It looks really good.
How fantastic the new place is and how excited I am about it.
And ready, right on time.
Ready.
Yeah, wow. That's why
I'm ready.
Real happy about it.
I've been after him for days. I'm like, come on, let me see really open. Come on, let me just call some people. Let's fucking do this.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Let's sell somebody a beer. Come on.
Right. Look, we got beer, we got liquor, I got ice. What the fuck more do I need?
Right. flushing toilets. That can come later.
Honest to God. Seriously.
Do you feel like the new... Because I saw one picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did I see?
That picture wasn't even supposed to get out. Okay. No, that picture was not supposed to get out.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, and then but, I saw it.
We're going to talk about that later.
It described, we're not. It described it as bigger, more open. Or,
yeah.
So bigger, longer, and uncut.
You think, yeah. Well, you know what? Think long
That's also my
and
drag
hard.
Name.
And then just think long and hard. Yeah, like, well, like what's in your mouth? Long and hard.
It's going to make the slurping noise again. It's going to make the slurping noise again.
What's in his mouth is long and hard. So
I've only got two hands.
It's getting softer by the minute, though. It's getting softer by the minute.
I have to hold this somehow.
Please.
It's a metaphor for life.
I would imagine, but didn't that make you...
Are you afraid?
Was that part of the attitude change? Like, we've got this new space and it looks this way. Like, is that part of it?
Let's be better people.
Absolutely, it's part of it. So... several months ago, I kind of just happened to look around when we were staffed up for a busy day, and I literally did the math, and I realized that there was 100 years of bar experience standing behind that bar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when you go, sure. Oh, this guy's been doing this for 20 years, and I've been doing it for 15, sure. And this guy... Like, it doesn't take long to get to 100. There was literally 100 years of bar experience. And so, yeah, it's just kind of that we're really good at this.
Right.
Let's prove that we're really good at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love it.
Jeffrey Perales is the owner and day-to-day manager of Cobalt. Because bar manager's a terrible job.
Yeah.
And Kat is the passive-aggressive manager of Cobalt.
I make suggestions. And I get my way a lot.
Uh-huh. Yes.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, no, clearly. Clearly no.
So weird still. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's going to be...
By the way, here's one of the pictures on their Facebook...
I forgot my train of thought.
Oh, that's the one I saw.
On their mm-hmm. Facebook... Now, that's on their Facebook page. I'm not stealing this from...
I know, because this is legal.
I think it looks fantastic.
But that looks wonderful.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is beautiful.
So here's what happened with this picture, because no pictures were supposed to get out. And a press outlet that we're familiar with, mm-hmm. that I won't throw under the bus, was asking for photos for an article that wasn't supposed to come out until mid-August. And so someone handling some of our PR said, oh, sure, here's this. And then it went straight online, like, the minute later.
Telephone, telegraph, telequeer. That's how that goes
Telequeen.
Down.
Telequeen.
Yeah.
For real. For real.
Is that the more politically correct way to say it now?
Now, this is I like this picture. This is in the old mm-hmm. Cobalt, but I like it was in the same article.
Oh,
but
that's
I,
a great
I love that picture.
That was the last day.
That was a great
picture.
That was
me and some
picture.
Of the boys that were yeah. working the last day.
Yeah, that's a great picture too.
That's good, huh?
And we yeah. literally ran out of vodka the last day.
Oh my God.
That's how you do it.
Oh my
that's
God.
How you do it.
There's gonna be an apocalypse because I've always said there would, you know,
wait,
the world
no,
would
no
end
left,
if a gay bar runs out of vodka.
No leftover vodka.
That's the way to do it.
We were talking about that before you got here.
We were down to some terrible shit that the bottle said vodka, but it tasted like tequila. And we were just like, I don't know what to tell you. This is what I got.
That's just what you're getting.
I've been in two bars that ran out of vodka in my life.
Oh, apocalypse.
Because you were there.
Because Al was there.
Yes. The one was a weekend at Rich's in San Diego where they ran out of vodka.
Yes.
The end of the weekend. And the other one was the happy place. Marie's Crisis.
Oh, yeah.
After we had been there for 4 days, all of us, they had no more Heineken.
You went through their liquor
order.
There
was no Heineken or any. We had drank them out of vodka left to right.
Successively.
Yeah.
We're going to start at the top and work our way down.
Oh, yeah. We worked our way way, way down.
Yeah. Wow. So like the show often does, our meeting kind of devolved because then we went over some recipes and...
That's on your Facebook page,
I know,
too.
There's
Brown
beers.
Betty.
That's a bunch of beer taps.
There's beers. That is a bunch of beer taps.
You were talking about all the new craft beers and some fun
Absolutely.
Stuff. That's fantastic.
We've got really fun stuff.
I'm very excited.
Really
I'm very excited for you. I really am.
Yeah, I am, too.
Yeah. I can't wait.
I'm
like,
sort of excited for you.
Like 3 nights in a row, Jeffrey's literally had to kick me out.
Are
He's
there...
He's like, okay, I'm ready to go home. Are you done? All right, fine.
Are like night themes staying the same, or has that gotten an overhaul, or
so,
what's
no, no,
the story
no, very
there?
Much the same Cobalt in a new cool space. So we're still, for the most part, the same staff, the same nightly features, like Monday night bingo, you know, Wednesday night drag show, karaoke all weekend.
Do you think this, I know, all of a
show tunes on Saturday.
I'm Barbara Walters all of a sudden, but
please,
do you think that you will get a... So hopefully all the clientele comes with you, but do you think with the newness and the changes, and like to me that look, I like the how it looks a little more sophisticated. But do you think you'll get a new crowd?
So
are you trying to bring new people in?
We've already been seeing it. So a couple years ago, we made a change to kind of turn left a little bit and really focus on karaoke as like our staple.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided if we're going to do anything, let's just do it really well. You know what I mean? Let's just focus.
When is
on
that going to start?
Tomorrow.
I'm kidding!
We start tomorrow.
That's funny.
And maybe someday we will do that.
It's good to have goals.
And it's already started bringing in a new clientele, which was very cool.
Karaoke nights are busy.
Our karaoke nights are a lot of fun. They're okay. Busy. They're a very diverse clientele. You know what I mean? Like, we're definitely a gay bar. We're proud to be a gay bar. We've always been part of the gay community. We want to continue to be part of the gay community. Like, we are who we are.
Yeah.
And we have a nice long history. Aren't those freaking good?
These are fantastic.
They really are.
Danger, Will Robinson.
DJ, thank you.
Thank you, DJ.
But we also attract a clientele that is younger and doesn't give a shit about it being a gay bar.
Right.
Or not. You know what I mean? Like, we're in this weird space right now.
Isn't that Central Phoenix, really?
It is a very Central Phoenix thing.
Right.
But the community as a whole is in this space right now where gay bars don't necessarily mean safety like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Like, a gay bar literally saved my life.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
Oh, I totally get it.
That's true. No, but it's absolutely true.
No, I
moved
totally
here,
get what you're
had
saying.
A terrible breakup, was all by myself. Fucking.
When you said safety, I totally made
like,
sense.
Like, a gay bar literally saved my life at one point in time and has saved many, many lives over.
It started mine, so I'm with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Same. Same song. So.
Back to the perfume.
Yeah. I'm a little bit on my soapbox, but I really believe that.
I love it, though.
That environment of you're here, so you're family. That gay bars just have, like every gay bar in the country that you walk into, you just know that you belong in it.
Yeah, it's
you know
true.
I mean? You just here I am. I'm here, and I know that I belong here.
Yeah, and you feel safe.
And that's a feeling that we're finding that younger people and straight people and people of other persuasions are really attracted to.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to find the way to kind of just like keep that attitude with whoever walks in our door. Because I think that's the future of the gay bar is that inclusive nature.
It is. Well, anyone can walk in the door.
It's almost the future of any bar. You can be gay at Applebee's and nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's still different. Like, you still feel...
Right, I agree, it's a little different. Yeah, but
the gay-owned part
The part of the fighting for your rights and being out there and being public, it's getting to that where you... That's why the gay bars are going... Gay bars, really niche gay bars, are going away so much because... You can be gay everywhere else.
Well, the thing is, you can't be an exclusionary gay bar. So I was talking to... I would like to
start that, though.
What's that?
It'll come back around.
I know. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of guys that feel that way, and I'm sorry for your life.
Yeah.
Well, I just have to do a private
club. I like this new way.
Do your private
club membership.
Mike Pence will move us backwards enough.
Wait, I
want to
hear what you were
going to
say
hiding.
About that, though.
I was talking to an owner of a lesbian bar in town, and...
There's only two.
I'm not calling people out.
Well, I didn't say. I'm just saying there's two. You got a 50-50 chance.
I was talking to an owner of a lesbian bar.
Promoted.
What?
Which is
I understand. We could talk about that off the air. I'm not talking anybody's shit.
Well, I'm not either. I was kind of
explaining to that person because I had an opportunity to kind of hang out and chat for a little bit, and was kind of explaining my like philosophy of the future of the gay bars, and they were like, like hadn't ever really thought of that, was really just focusing in on that really exclusive demographic, and I'm like, that's not there's always going to be niche bars, and those niche bars are needed, and there's no hate on those niche bars, but I think the bars that really want to be more successful than their little zone need to open their doors a little more.
I love it. I think it is encouraging for inclusion like that.
I really got soapboxing. Really I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh.
People beat
get preachy
together. I
the
like
third
it
hour.
When I go and people like are coming from after work and they're straight and straight couples are there, and
if it's just
cool,
where you
know?
Got your freak flag fly or whatever. They're
come on in, like right?
Yeah.
And my philosophy for a really long time is if I don't have a problem with you, then I've got no problem with you.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If you don't cause me problems, then you're welcome. Please come in.
I also think it adds a little more to the dynamic of like. And obviously, as old as at least I'll say I am, and we remember when bars are a little more exclusionary. You get only one type of people coming, and honestly, to this day, that still drives me crazy because I get bored so quick. I'm like, and you know, stereotyped everything. Like, oh, girl, you know, Al and I have talked about this. Like, I'm like, I'm going to kill myself if I have to listen to that for 45 fucking minutes. You know, girl, this and it's like it's
that's
like
how
London
I
mentioned.
Met you.
I know, but I don't. But I'm saying. I really don't like that whole
20
right.
some years, yeah.
And so I like it when there's more. It adds to the experience.
Absolutely.
So I'm a fan. So
yeah, I think people overall have a better time and are on better behavior.
That's
a mixed society too. Yeah.
That is a really really good point.
I wrote a whole thesis about that. All
I believe
men's bars got dirty and nasty.
Yeah.
Fast. As soon as you were at a bar where they let females in, then everybody pants back on. Like, we're here to drink. Mm-hmm. Like, keep that back in your pants. Mm-hmm. No one wants to see that.
Oh, I say it all the time. We've got a couple of guys on staff that are always like, hey, it's underwear night. I'm like, hey, you're closing by yourself.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, there was a straight friend of mine from a few years ago that had, and you really had never, like, gone to gay bars or anything, but he said, it was interesting. I was trying to describe to he was kind of conservative. I was describing to him the bars, and he said, well, he said, how come you don't go to more gay bars? And I said, because they're really all not really all that nice, you know, and sometimes the behavior, whatever. I said, I'm happier. I'll just go to Postino's or wherever. I'm, you know, mainstream gay that goes to those kinds of places. That's what I like. And then he said,
Postino's isn't gay.
No, but, well, it's respectable. So you can bring your mother.
Well, sure, there's not a dark hand job corner over there. That's true.
That's what I'm talking about. You can bring your mom. So,
oh, there's not?
So... But he said something to me.
Or maybe there is.
Maybe there is.
That really hit home with me. He said, huh. He said, when I think of gay stereotypes, like clothes and restaurants, he's like, it's always so upscale. You know, the gays are always into the trends and everything is so whatever. He's like, how come the bars wouldn't be like that? And I was stumped. I was like, you're absolutely right. There is a disconnect between the stereotypical gays, like everything beautiful and nice and, you know, high class and whatever. We're the fashion everything, except when you go to a gay bar and then it's sleazy. And I was like, he really hit something. He didn't know
and
he was hitting
it. And there's so many
it.
Bars that have just transitioned from like the old buildings that they were in with the doors off the...
So I think it's time for something nice.
Doors. Yeah, it is. It's time to...
It's time for a nice bar, you know.
Absolutely.
To go through.
Sorry, I got on the soapbox too.
That's okay.
And the one
you're
thing
welcome.
That
New
I'm
Cobalt
supporting,
this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, the one thing that kind of ruined a little bit of it, I think, is, and I hate to blame it all on them, but it was the bachelorette parties.
No, you can't blame it on that.
They
I agree.
Really made people hate bridal parties. Yes. Like, you just, like, we're not animals in a zoo. Like,
exactly.
That had such an ugly, icky feel to
I
it.
I love it.
Like,
Abby just fired them all too. The Abby in LA canceled that.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
said, no more.
Oh,
fuck
yeah.
Off.
We covered that on the show.
Well, like, because they got crazy. Like, why would you, just because you're gay bar, you can go come
I
and
have
be
a dear, dear friend who I will never take to a gay bar again in my life who just got awful. And I think it was Bar One. Bar One, or maybe it was Friends, Cherry, Diablo, whatever the fuck that place is called now. And I remember the bouncer being like, she has to go.
Yeah, she can't. Mm-hmm.
Like, this
here.
Is just, this is. She's harassing people now.
Yeah.
Like, and she was, like, grabbing people's crotches. Sure. And don't you want to make out with me? And, like, just this weird, straight
look
girl.
At my tits. Grab my tits. That whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And watching them to go down with someone that I genuinely like, I'm like, oh, no, this cannot go on.
Yeah. And now I have, like, this like, mom thing that comes out in me that I'm like, is that all right if people do that to you?
Yeah.
Like, let's go down to Applebee's and let me line up five guys and have them treat you exactly like you've just treated my customers. Like, I fucking stand there and read them up and down.
And I'm the other mom. What happened to you?
Did somebody say you couldn't?
Who did this to you? Yeah.
I do the whole, would you like it if this was you? Do not come here and sexually harass my customers. This is some... Yeah.
Well, and there was also an issue where... it was a customer that dealt with you in inappropriately, and you're like, "I'm not one of the boys. You can't do this. We're not playing this game."
Oh, what's his butt?
That, by the way, turned to 180. I don't know who went and talked to him, but
that got cleared up
really quickly.
Maybe
but
he's
that's
a
good.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I do want to say,
I never called anybody out by name,
but
if you feel guilty, you're guilty.
Progress,
in the Bridezilla universe, in their defense, I don't think there's many places. In most towns to see male strippers besides gay bars.
No, that is true.
Right.
Like, I honestly, I mean, having done no research, and I'm not Googling it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Well, with our luck tonight.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know that there's somewhere else for them to go to see, not strippers, but go-go dancers and the like.
No, that's true.
Scantily clad men with abs.
I don't know.
Again, Jesus.
It's right. No. Kindergarten rules. Keep your hands to yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Say please and thank you.
Share your drink because mine seems to be empty.
Both of mine are empty. I'm in trouble. Don't. No, I got.
Would
go.
You like? Okay. All right,
no.
First of all,
I wasn't going to because you weren't going to be here tonight. That was going to. I was going to show something. You weren't going to be here.
Okay.
Now you're here.
But now I'm here.
Now we're going to show something.
Okay.
We're going to do a little flashback.
That's now, an exhausting journey.
Good Lord.
Whatever just
We're going to do a little flashback for our friend, what's your name? Kat Carlson?
Yeah, sure. That's me. Hi.
Nice to meet you.
I got this, this from, it's amazing when you clean out hard drives.
Oh my God.
And you find stuff.
Sasquatch porn, is that where we're going?
No.
Oh, wow.
Our friend Joe Gaganzik was going through some old videos, some old stuff that he had, and he emails me and he says, hey, I found something.
Okay.
Maybe you'd like to see it. I'm like, well, what you
well,
got?
Well, sure, I'm going to look at it.
So he sent it to me, and I said, so sure.
Is it Butt Pirate Sasquatch?
No, it is not. But we're gonna watch
Rogue
this.
Rogue Unicorn fucks Doug Tingle.
This is from a... Chris Tingle. Was it Chris Tingle?
You said Doug.
I know.
Is it Space Raptors Haunt My Balls?
But I thought it was Doug Tingle.
Charles, I think.
Chuck Tingle.
Dr. Charles
Chuck
Tingle.
Don't put my name in that
Chuck Tingle
thing.
Dr.
Anyway,
Tingle at your service.
This is a few years ago. I think you will recognize two people in the video.
Two things.
It's a flashback. We're just going to watch this, and we'll talk to you. As Brian Williams would say, we'll talk to you on the other side.
All right.
Beautiful, fabulous, wonderful Cash and Country with one of our star bartender dancers.
Kat Carlson.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay, so first off, what made you want to be involved in this competition, with the exception of the fact that we probably haven't?
Because I am a dancing machine.
Yeah. Now you teach...
Two-step
dance
and
here.
Line dance, yeah.
Okay, when do you do that?
Every Thursday night at 7:30. The two-step we do is nothing like ballroom. It's totally a different challenge to learn actually how to do it, rather than, you know, how we do it.
Yeah. Very nice. So we're excited. You've invited a lot of people out.
Absolutely.
We know you've been doing some promotions, and we were here last night, actually, getting you behind the bar doing your thing.
Totally.
Also, so... Team, Aaron and Kat. Aaron, tell us about your dance background.
I am ballroom trained. I've been doing this teaching for about 4 years now.
Okay.
I got into it completely by accident.
Okay.
And fell in love.
What do you think? Like, how do you think that Kat's doing?
She's amazing.
Yeah? I know, putting her on the spot.
No, I'm serious. She's amazing. Everything I show her, she gets.
Yeah.
It's totally easy. I have not had a student that's so easy.
I'm like, sweet, we can do anything.
It was kind of joint. We talked about the idea, because I'm from the Cash, starting with like a little bit country and then just like busting out with like bam, something else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we went through a couple different country songs, and, you know, the Don't Stop the Music song is one that I totally love. I'm Kat.
I'm Erin.
And we're from Cash Inn, and we're dancing in the bars.
Oh my gosh, the audio is horrible.
I love this so much. So a couple of things.
So much fun.
A couple of things. Number one, the Graysons were filming that on a flip camera. If you remember
the flip video camera. Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt a little long ago.
Because that was 2008, so it's been
10 years.
Mm-hmm. 10 years.
All right.
That was the very first Dancing with the Bars. I remember that because they dropped off like the interest letter. Sway Vance did. Claudine. Oh, I don't remember what her last name used to be, though.
She changed it
when she got married, I thought. Anyway.
That's what it was.
Was it always... Oh, maybe Kelly changed her last name.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, she, like, dropped off a letter to all these bars and whatever, and I found it in the trash at the Cash. Like, I came in and opened the bar one day, and I just, like, happened to look down, and there was a piece of paper in the trash, and I was like, oh, what is this? And I fished it out and read it, and I was like, I fucking have to do this right now.
How fun.
Yeah. This is my way in.
Lesbian triumphant.
Also, I think that was about a month post poor decision.
Hair? Is that where you're going?
Yes.
I was just going to say, wow.
There was a mohawk that happened.
That young man was an attractive young man.
No. There was a mohawk that happened about a month before that. That I had to shave off because it made the owners of the Cash very uncomfortable that I was going to do some crazy things because I had shaved my head into a mohawk. That. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
And they were so freaked out that I ended up shaving it off and I looked like fucking Eddie Vedder from American History X.
Wow.
That's a true story, too. I can find you that
picture. I like that the only other lesbian in the room is like, oh, I remember.
Oh, I remember that.
I remember.
Oh, because I don't remember who I broke up with to do that.
Who cares?
Oh, I think I do.
Molly?
Yeah.
Oh,
I kind of do. I had to put it together with who I was there. Oh, I totally do.
Is that how you do it?
Molly.
I know. I'm like,
You miss a lot.
Molly's got
honestly.
Crocs
you miss
and you've
lot.
Got Crocs. That makes you a lesbian. Yeah.
I don't have no, any Crocs. There's no Crocs. No Crocs are happening here.
We're in a Croc-free zone.
Zero
Crocs. That's a very fun video. Thank you, Joe, for finding that.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
He emailed that to you like, oh, really?
Oh, and Kate, I forgot that Katie Jude was my interviewee.
That was so funny because that was obviously, we started the show in 12.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that was four years before we even started doing the show, and now we're 7 years in. Holy crap!
Many things have happened.
Yeah,
she
God,
had three children since that.
That's
mistake.
True. Yeah, that's true. I found two.
Yeah, exactly.
You found, that's right.
Right.
My God,
I didn't have them. I just
well, that
found
was a
them.
Lovely flashback. Thank you very
that
much,
was very fun.
Joe,
thank
for
you
finding
for that.
That was kind of funny.
Oh, many days, many days.
And look, we're bringing everybody back because I brought these.
With the bugles, it's all flashbacky.
Oh my God, the bugles!
Yeah, I thought of Buddy when I stopped for my coffee, and I saw the bugles, and I thought.
You know what's funny is I never, I for some reason tonight, and maybe it's because of, I don't know, beverages.
That was Katie June.
There is a very heightened sound of everything crinkly and plastic in every package tonight to me. I don't know why, but all, these pistachios and him. I'm
it's
like,
probably this mic.
I'm just going to put them in a goddamn Tupperware.
Well, that's why I usually bowl my nuts beforehand.
All right. Sasquatch.
Are your nuts haunted, though, by a Sasquatch?
Do you wash your balls before
my God.
A tournament?
Yes. I'm very comfortable. Yes.
Yes, there's that.
My new drag name, Bowl My Nuts. Should I ever go back to the drag world?
You're welcome.
There you go. I like it.
Tape them down. That's another one.
It's got to be Bowl My Nuts.
Bowl My Nuts.
My Nuts. My nuts.
Yeah, it's M apostrophe. And you with an umlaut.
Yeah. Would we like to do a thoughtful vulgarity tonight?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we would? Okay, well, let's figure it out.
I guess I got voted down
on
that
I got here late. You're going to have the question. I don't know. You better ask some.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity. Where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Well, after the eighth grade movie.
Okay.
What was a time in your life that ended and you looked back and you thought, well, that was a shitty era?
I think we just saw it.
Can we cut the video?
Can we play the video again?
Did you see that hair? Listen.
No, not that. I get it. I mean, there are all kinds of things happening.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We'll start with you.
I'm trying to roll through my life to think that there was a when you were in it, you didn't realize.
Oh yeah, it's when it ended and you looked back. You thought, wow.
Well,
that was
I didn't.
Bad.
It was an issue where I didn't realize how advantage I'd been taken of. And we've talked about it on this show before with regards to it. It's the entire Tanning Fitness Center issue. It's like I didn't realize while I was in the game, that I was being played.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, that's 5 years of my life I'm not getting back, and I'm not getting back all this shit that I got into because. Something was misrepresented to me, and I was lied to, and all that. So there was that. But God, going back younger though, I was trying to think of something that was more of a younger situation, like because you were referencing the eighth grade movie.
Oh no, any time, any relationship, anything that like, when you thought it was horrible when it ended, but when you look back, you're like, well, good thing that's fucking over.
Oh, I still think of that in a lot of. I've said that actually.
Oh, I got it.
I've actually said that in reference to dating situations where I may have been interested in someone, and then somebody else swooped in and started dating them that I knew, and I'm like, fuck you! What are you doing sweeping in on this? And then I'm like.
Oh no! You got to live it. You can't just escape the horror.
That one's crazy.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I've been through those kind of things. But no. But the first one that comes to mind is that whole situation where I was like, yeah, I got played, and I am forever apprehensive of anybody presenting a situation to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Douglas?
I don't know about... You're saying you're like you thought it was great, and then...
Oh, no, you didn't need... No, you could have hated it, too, but there's always that thing that...
Like
when,
Wednesdays after you leave this show.
Yes.
like a half an hour from now. Yeah. That's time to leave. Once it's over, and you go...
It was as long as an era.
Where you think something good is happening and then later you're regretting it?
Yeah.
Yes,
no,
that could be tonight.
Yeah. No, just any time that you realize that something has ended and you're like, oh, it's good that that's over.
Yeah, like the perspective of hindsight.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably just, I don't, nothing specific, but just like intermittent patches in my like 20s and 30s where maybe things were, I don't know. It's hard to, I can't pinpoint one thing. Sorry.
I don't know.
Falling flat. I'll yield my time to the senator from Vermont.
Raya?
March 3rd, 2002.
Picture it.
So that's the opposite of mine.
As a matter of fact.
Is that when Gina moved out?
No, that's March 3rd. Got out.
Oh, Gina Lopez.
And I mean that with love.
Gina Lopez we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, the other Marnie. Just bye-bye.
And one of those things that you probably thought you were in an okay relationship, then when it ended, you're like, I'm not sad.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. And it was just, it was something that you get into and you think this is the right thing and this is the best thing and this is Jesus Christ, what happened? How did that happen? And then you run like hell
right.
from your own home and your own... Everything. Yeah.
I get the feeling that you're saying, and I've had it. I just don't have a specific...
I don't think it's necessarily about relationships that it has to be, but at the same time, that was a life changer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute life changer. When you're on that border and there's a line, you get where I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
To the day you got woke and were like, this is really bad.
That's a real...
Ms. Carlson, would you like to add to any of this?
Literally, like, every era in my life because I am 100%.
That's
no.
How I feel.
I'm like dive in 100% until Trisha used to call it jumping off the high dive because I would just go. I'm super bought into this. I'm 100% into this until one day that I'm just done.
Yep.
And then I burn the house down.
Yeah, scorched earth.
Yeah. Just jump off the high dive, whatever it takes. I'm out of this fucking situation. Like
she said what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, the ways that I have left situations in my life, none of them are cute, none of them are pretty, and all of them have burned the house down.
That does make me think of, I've had some
that bridge is on fire.
For real. I've come home more than once to literally empty houses because it was my house and she took everything.
Yeah. You know,
because I deserved
that. That was really well said because now it made me think of like what I call some of the rough transitions in my life. So like I would do something like getting patterns. Yeah, we all get in patterns, right? 6 or 7 years. And then I'd have a big move and a job change. And it was like, and overnight, my life was completely different. And I'd have like a hangover effect of like, then kind of remembering that last, remember the good stuff. And then being like, maybe it is good that I made that change. But then also like, maybe I didn't make it in the healthiest, like smoothest way. It was just like up and like, now I'll have a different 6 years of my life. And then another one. And I'm like doing it again. Like it, that's sort of been the way my adult life is. It hasn't been very smooth. It's been like, wham, all this. And it's like, oh, and now this. And people are like, oh, we haven't seen you in a long time. I'm like, yeah, because I went haywire, you know. I don't know how healthy it is. Yeah. I'm not saying it's healthy. It's probably not.
You know what I will tell you, though, adding to your little story. Whatever trails you have taken and however you got, you now get to spend time with us.
Yeah.
And you're welcome.
Yes. Well, thank you. Yes. I hadn't thought about it that way, but
you're welcome.
Under new management,
Joe. Your personal therapy bills?
Yes.
Going to be lower.
It's a lot lower.
You let it out in this room.
Yeah, no, it's very therapeutic. Yeah. It really is.
Mr. Perkins.
I mean, mine's just literally going to be the eighth grade.
And
because
forever.
And it's just funny. We talked about with the Paisley story where you've kind of forgotten something until someone just pulls that one thread and all of a sudden the lights come on and you're like, oh my fuck, like where?
Right.
How did I forget all that? And in the at the end of that movie, there's a thing where she leaves a message for her There's a thing about a time capsule where...
Are you giving away the end of the movie?
Yeah, don't spoil the end.
She goes to high school.
Oh,
she goes to ninth grade.
Oh, I didn't know she passed.
Yeah, she passes.
Great, passes now I don't away. Have to see it.
But there was a whole thing of
sad
like...
Sad because she passes
what
away.
What do you want to hear from... Like, does... She leaves a time capsule for herself, and do you want to hear from your eighth grade self when you're graduating from high school? Like, do you want to see the last major milestone? And I was just reminded of, like, getting towards the end of the eighth grade, and the way that they did junior high in Niagara Falls was you could stay in the ninth grade at the junior high, or you could go and be a freshman at high school. You could either be, like, the oldest.
Weird.
I know, it's like an East Coast thing.
Yeah, you could be, like, the big dog at the junior high or go be little people, and some people needed to transition and they weren't quite old enough for high school. You know, that was kind of the thought, that some people needed to stay in that environment. Mm-hmm. And I remember just turning into Terrorist Al, who's always just underneath the surface. And I probably scared the shit
out of
my guide.
Really?
Hiding that really well.
I'm another popsicle, bitch. Hey, calm down.
And I remember going into my guidance counselor and being like, listen to me, guidance human. I will not be attending this school next year.
Right.
So you write down every fucking class on the list.
Write down.
I don't care if I have to learn to be a track star, football, swim. I will do it, but I will not be attending these halls one more time. And he was like, well, there's a course of study that you're kind of in already that's going to get you there. I'm like,
drama?
Write it? No, because... the classes I was in, and I'm like, write it in ink, sign it now, and I want, like, I'll keep your firstborn till I'm at that other school. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, the scorched earth policy of, like, there's just so much about the, like, 7th and 8th grade that I have no memory and no need to remember.
Relive it.
Watching that movie and, like, just how frank and honest this girl is in this movie with these on-camera things about being more confident and trying to be popular and being your best self, and I'm like, oh, I can see myself in every one of these things trying to give myself pep talks.
I'm so afraid to see this movie now because I've literally blocked out everything from like 12 to 24.
You're gonna have flashbacks.
And I'm not kidding. Like, I've been spending a lot of time with family lately, and people will be like, oh, don't you remember?
No.
Nope. Yeah.
Sure don't.
And please don't provide any details because I don't want this to come screaming back at me
later. No, tell
the
whole story. And I'm like, was I there for that?
Yeah.
There was did I go on that vacation?
You're going to have flashbacks.
Yeah, listen to the beginning of the story about Maggie Paisley. That was the whole, like, memory.
Oh, that was a touching story about a dog and a boy.
I don't want to hear it. I don't.
And a Sasquatch.
Feels like I played the boy.
What do you mean Timmy fell in the well? I don't understand.
Who's Timmy?
Who's Nan?
I like that one of you thinks I would talk to a dog. But. Good night.
Where does the
good work, guys. Good work.
Well, you've done it. We've done it. We've made. Look, give ourselves a round of applause. We've made it.
The entire
3.5 hour, well, 3 hours, 15 minutes of this shit show.
And I only talked like two hours.
It was only
of that.
3 hours.
It went by so fast.
You'll make up next week. You'll make up for it. It's all right. I'd like to thank Doug Wilkie, Marnie Marquette. Carlson is a surprise guest tonight.
Well done, hello.
Al Perkins. DJ's in the corner. Just ignore him. He's over there.
Thanks, sir.
It's all right. I'm Clayton McKee. This is Q Talk America. Thank you all for being with us each and every week in the chat room. Jenny and Joe and Jenny and Meow Cal and Nero and
Harrison.
All of them. Mama Dye.
Cats of thousands.
As we wrap up tonight's show, we're going to leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, the snow guy. Snow person.